ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 11 वर्स नंबर 29-32। श्री भगवानुवाच। कृपालो रक्त द्रोहस् तितिक्षुः सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो नवत्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। श्री भगवानुवाच। कृपालोरकृतद्रोहस् तितिक्षुः सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो नवद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। श्रीभगवानुवाच। कृपालोरकृतद्रोहस् तितिक्षुः सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारोऽन्वद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारकः। Mataji's, so reading verse number 30, 31, 32. Kamair ahata dhir danto mridhu shuchi rakinchanaha aniho mitabhuk shantaha sthiro macharano munihi apramatto gabhiratma triti manjita shadgunaha amani mandah kalyo maitrah karunikah kavihi। अज्ञावयवं गुणान् दोषान् मयादिष्टान् अपि स्वकान् धर्मान् सत्यज्य यः सर्वान् मां भजेत स तु सत्तमः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, ओ उद्धव, अ सेंटली पर्सन इज मर्सीफुल एंड नेवर इंज्योर्स अदर्स। Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant. and forgiving toward all living entities. His strength and meaning in life come from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy. And his mind is equal to in material happiness and distress. Thus he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of others. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires. And he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary. And he is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformations, because he is steady and noble even in a distressing situation. He has conquered over the six material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such a saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer, and he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered to be the best among all living entities. So we are reading a part of the purport, the last part. There are innumerable examples of rooted workers, mental speculators and materialistic devotees who became perfect by the strength of devotional service. By rendering loving service to Krishna, one automatically experiences the greatest pleasure of life and is endowed with perfect knowledge. There is nothing lacking in the process of pure devotional service. And there is no need for any extraneous endeavor to acquire sense pleasure or philosophical satisfaction. One must be completely convinced that simply by serving Krishna, one will get all perfection in life. Even if one lacks some or all of the above mentioned qualities, one should sincerely engage in Lord Krishna's service. And gradually one's character will become perfect. One who is a sincere devotee of Lord Krishna, will develop all godly qualities by the mercy of the Lord. And one who is already serving the Lord with the above mentioned qualities is to be understood as the greatest devotee. As indicated in verse 32, a pure devotee of the Lord is fully aware of the pious advantages of executing devotees within the Varnashrama system, and is similarly aware of the harmful mistake of neglecting such duties. Still, having full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee gives up all ordinary social and religious activities and engages fully in the devotional service. He knows that Lord Krishna is the ultimate source of everything and that all perfection comes from Lord Krishna alone. Because of his extraordinary faith, the devotee is called Sattama, or the best among all living beings. As explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, a devotee who has not yet developed the good qualities mentioned above, but is nevertheless sincerely endeavoring for Krishna consciousness, should receive the mercy of superior Vaishnavas. One should not necessarily accept intimate association with such an aspirant to pure devotional service, but one should be confident that by chanting the holy names of Krishna, such a person will eventually attain all perfection. One can imagine the beauty of a society filled with saintly persons, as described in these verses. The wonderful Krishna conscious qualities mentioned above are the basis of a peaceful and prosperous society. And if everyone takes to devotion to the loving service of Krishna, then certainly the present atmosphere of fear, violence, lust, greed and insanity can be replaced by a celestial situation in which all leaders and citizens will be happy. The essential points here are Mat Sharana, one should take full shelter of Lord Krishna, and Mam Bhajeta, one should worship the Lord through the authorized process. In this way, the entire world can become Sattama, or most perfect.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanto Radha Kanto Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions how if everyone becomes a devotee, this world will become such a happy place, a blissful place. Because as soon as Krishna becomes the center of one's life, everything gets harmonized. The qualities like selfless service, love, compassion automatically develop. Like one classic example, in I think 2007-08, when we were undergoing brahmachari training, so one of my friends used to go to Dadar for getting flowers for the deities early morning. And at that time, it was only one person who was going. But the quantity is huge. Two big bags he had to carry. So, when he was coming back at the other station, He was already very tired because it's not an easy job to go through that crowd and buy the flowers. You get drained out of your energy. And he was coming down and he was trying to catch a particular train at a particular time. But then as he's coming down the steps, he sees that the train has arrived and it's about to leave. So he got so disappointed, and he was already carrying that heavy load, burden of love in his two hands, and extremely exhausted, coming down, and suddenly he thought, oh, I missed this train, I'll have to wait for some more time now. And as he's coming down, suddenly he sees the train is not moving. And then he hears the voice, Prabhuji, Prabhuji. And then he looks around and sees the driver has put his head out. The driver had a tilak. And he had the train steering in one hand and beat back in the other. He said, Baito, baito, jaldi baito. So he waited till the devotee got inside and he kept looking back. And when he realized that the devotee is entered, then he started the train. So if everybody becomes a devotee, life becomes so easy. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha harava abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. This verse was quoted by Srila Prabhupada many times, and this is the essence. People go out and they want to be trained up in various personality traits. There is so much emphasis on personality development, grooming yourself up externally, trying to develop certain qualities. But this is the essence. Any person who has genuine devotion for Krishna, for God, all the divine qualities automatically manifest in his personality. He doesn't have to make an extra endeavor. But the situation nowadays is people want godly qualities. But how is that possible without God? They want to see their children having all the godly qualities, but they don't want their children to visit temples. There are families which are teaching their children, you don't need to go to the temple. You just be home and do whatever you like. God is everywhere, so you can worship at home also. But that way, by that logic, even water is everywhere. H2 and O2, hydrogen and oxygen. At that time, they don't just open their mouth and drink some air. They need an accessible form of water. Similarly, temple is a place where God is more accessible. So many times people ask, do we need to visit a temple? So the answer is yes and no. Because in the temple, the Lord is present everywhere, at home also, when you have a deity or a picture, in the temple also. But why yes and no? Although the Lord is present everywhere, his deity form is present everywhere, at home also, in temples also, but he manifests his potency and mercy only at a place where he is worshipped with love and devotion. Otherwise, he'll just keep standing and he will not manifest his beauty, his personality, his qualities, his mercy and potency. So when we find a temple where the Lord is worshipped with utmost care and attention, that's the place we must visit regularly in order to bathe in that spiritual energy permeating the atmosphere at that particular temple. But if there is a temple where he's just treated as a stone, people don't have devotion, just money making, everything dry, not served properly, then we need not visit that. Because the Lord will not manifest his mercy. He will not manifest his beauty. He will not manifest his power. So we need to find out a place And the darshan of the Lord is so auspicious that simply by the glance of the Lord, the spiritual desires are created within our heart. So when we go to see the Lord in the temple, we are not actually going just to see Him. We are also going so that He can see us. Simply by His glance, the spiritual desires are created. In fact, the creation of this universe or the universes begins when He glances over the material energy. So His glance has so much power. And how this functions, how the creation functions, no human brain can ever understand, comprehend, unless the Lord reveals Himself. And He only reveals through devotional service, when we render devotional service. So a person will develop all genuine good qualities as he tries to increase his devotion. So therefore, devotional service is the only auspicious activity for the soul. When the sages asked Suta Goswami 6 questions, one of the questions was at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the essence of all the scriptures? Because there are so many scriptures, so many Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Gita, and then the Vedas. So what is the essence? Because who has time to study all of these? And he clearly answers, it's bhakti, devotional service. This is the essence. All the scriptural study, all our charity, austerities, occupational duties are simply meant to engage us in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the essence, that is the goal. And without devotional service to Krishna, without Krishna's presence in life, everything is inauspicious. Take for example the food. The food, how does it become prasad? How does the quality of the food change? As soon as it is offered to the deity, form of the Lord, or a picture of the Lord, the bhoga, the food, ordinary food becomes prasad when Krishna enters that food through His glance. A simple flower. There are so many nice flowers people can buy in the market. But when that same flower, nobody even looks at those flowers. But when that flower comes from the altar, it has become worshipable. Or take for example the place, the building. It is just a building, but when the Lord enters the building, it becomes a temple, a worshipable place. When the Lord enters the house, it becomes home. Therefore, the Sanskrit word for ghar, home, house is bhavan. And in that, the bha stands for Bhagwan. If that bha is missing, it just remains a one, a forest. And forest means animals. And animals means, according to that shloka, ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. These are the only goals of life, of the people who are living in that house. But when the Lord enters, He becomes the goal, so it becomes bhavan. Forget all that. Just consider our own body. So the soul is a part and parcel of Krishna, and body is always dead. As soon as that part and parcel of Krishna enters dead matter, the matter becomes alive, starts moving. And when that part and parcel of Krishna leaves the body, it is dead, stops moving, doesn't grow, doesn't find any nourishment, doesn't find any strength. And then the same body, which is so dear to us, or others' bodies which are so dear to us, become scary. Dead body. A person who has, suppose a wife or a husband, one of them passes away, and the other party will not be ready to spend even one night in the same bedroom with the body. It has become inauspicious. If we see a dead body, we have to take bath. What to speak of touching it?
what has happened, even if you decorate the body completely. Because Krishna, in the form of that energy, which is the soul, Krishna, he says, these are my energies. As soon as he withdraws his energy, the body becomes useless, lifeless. As Krishna gave all the power to Arjuna, and he could defeat all the warriors single-handedly, when he took away that power, Krishna could not defeat even simple cowherd men. So therefore, everything is inauspicious without Krishna's presence. He is the ultimate doer. Unless he enters our life, life is inauspicious. Therefore, whenever any puja begins, you've heard the priests chanting the mantra, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarva Vastham Gatopiva Yahas Maret Pundari Kaksham Sabahya Bhyantara Shuchihi. Whether pure or impure or having passed through all situations in life, one quickly becomes cleansed as soon as one remembers the lotus-eyed Lord, which is Krishna. So this is the power of Krishna's touch, auspiciousness. He makes everything auspicious, and when he disappears from our life, everything becomes inauspicious. Therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj once mentioned, how do we judge the auspiciousness or inauspiciousness of a situation? He says, the auspiciousness of a situation is judged by how it brings us closer to Krishna. Then whether it's a tragedy or a failure or a reward, it doesn't matter. If that particular situation is helping us come closer to Krishna, it is the most auspicious thing that has happened to us. And if something, the so-called happiness of this world, takes us away from Krishna, it is the most inauspicious thing that has happened. So therefore, Krishna's presence is extremely important. And here Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the devotional service is so easy, I'm just paraphrasing, and it is easy, and it is the closest to our nature. So Krishna talks about various types of yoga in the Gita. He talks about karma yoga, which is related to work and which involves our senses. Then there is jnana yoga, which is related to knowledge and it involves our intelligence. Then there is dhyana yoga, which is related to meditation, involves our mind. And then there is bhakti yoga, which is related to service and which involves the soul. And what is our identity? We are the soul. So naturally, the best thing for the soul is to be engaged in devotional service, bhakti yoga. This is the highest. And it's the easiest also. This is amazingly, it is the highest, devotional service is the highest activity, yet the easiest. Like a child cannot perform karma yoga or dhyana yoga or jnana yoga. An old person cannot do so. People who have less intelligence can't do. But anybody can eat prasad. That's a part of bhakti yoga, honoring prasad. Anybody can chant. Anybody can dance in the kirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so simple in Kali Yuga. What is that? Three things? Kevala Ananda Kanda. Pardon? Chanting, dancing and feasting. If we simply chant the holy names, dance in kirtan and feast on prasad, we will achieve the perfection of life. That means we would surpass the study of all the scriptures, we have performed all the Vedic rituals, austerities, tapasya, everything is included in that, chanting, dancing and feasting. And the best thing about bhakti yoga is, Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam, once begun, success is guaranteed. the result will be 100%. Especially, he mentions it in the case of, he gives the example of Ajamil. And a little advancement done on this path, even if you do little, it will save you from the greatest fear in life. The example is given that of King Nriga. He did so much charity in his life. So much charity. And one small mistake, unknowingly, was not his fault. It became the cause of his fall down and he became a lizard. But one simple act of bhakti yoga, because he had that habit of giving charity. So once one devotee came, somewhere it is mentioned he needed Bhagavatam, some places it is mentioned he needed some money to build a Vishnu temple. And because it was his nature to give charity, so he gave that Vaishnava also. And that one simple act became the cause of his deliverance by Krishna himself. Krishna personally saved him. And here he did everything nicely, so much charity, so much piety, so much pious work, and it became the cause of his fall down. So in bhakti yoga, success is guaranteed. In the other forms of yoga, jnana, dhyana, karma, unless you achieve the result, we are unsuccessful, we are considered unsuccessful. But in bhakti yoga, especially, success is not dependent on the result. Success is simply dependent on the endeavor. So if we are endeavored, you have put an effort, that's a success. Because the result is anyways in Krishna's hands. So, even the endeavor is not required. The example is when Lord Chaitanya was visiting South India, when he went to Srirangam temple, he saw many scholarly people who knew Gita by heart. And there was one Brahmana sitting in one corner and he was profusely crying and trying to read Gita. And they were making fun of him. But Lord Chaitanya didn't go to them, who were very great scholars. He went to this Brahmana. Because being the Supreme Lord, he knew the heart of this devotee. And when he went closer, he saw the Brahmana is trying to read the Gita. So Lord asked him, which part of the Gita is giving you so much ecstasy? He said, and he was trying to read the Gita. He said, I'm an illiterate. I don't know how to read the Gita. But my guru told me that I must read Gita, so I'm trying. And he was an illiterate. And Lord Chaitanya saw and he was holding the Gita upside down. So how could anybody read like that? But the Lord went to him and embraced him and gave him Krishna Prema, showered his supreme blessings. So bhakti yoga, the result is not the success. The endeavor itself is a success. And it goes even one step higher. Endeavor is also not required. The desire is enough. The story comes in the Puranas. There was a family and the children always used to tell their father, chant God's name, chant God's name. It is important because he was always engrossed in business dealings, management. But he was very kind of, can say, not interested at all. No taste, no interest, nothing. Never listened to them, didn't do it. And towards the end of his life, as he was lying on his deathbed, he simply thought, all this while my children have been telling me to chant the names of Krishna. So, anyways, I have nothing to do, I might depart any moment, so let me just try and chant the Lord's names. And he died at that moment. And then the three Yamadutas, scary people, they're just coming to take his soul away. And suddenly the Vishnu Dutas appear and they stop them. Said, you can't take this person. He said, he is such a sinful man, always engrossed in materialistic pleasures, pursuits. He said, you can't take him away. He said, no. Vishnu said, you can't take him away. He belongs to Vaikuntha. He said, Vaikuntha? it was like a culture shock for them. He said, how does he belong to Vaikuntha? And the Vishnudutta said, because he desired to chant the Lord's name. That desire itself is enough. So these stories, when we find in the Puranas, this is like Krishna advertising that how eager he is to get us back. He is just looking for an opportunity. As soon as we show little inclination, he is there to catch us and never let us go. Therefore, I heard many years back one devotee mentioning that entering Krishna's world is like entering the underworld. You can enter, but you can't go on your own. You can't return. Just a one-way ticket. He will not let us go. That's his special quality. So one great poet has written from Vrindavan, when Krishna is holding on to Putana, and Putana starts crying, leave me child. And that poet is writing that Krishna is telling her, it's in Braja Bhasha, he says, Mai main pakadna janu par chhodna nahi janu. I know how to catch a person, but I don't know how to leave him. That is Krishna's nature. So simple, no qualification required. And the best, and we are in the best of the yugas, in the sense that the process has been made very simple. We don't need any educational qualification, no social status taking into consideration, no age or gender distinction, and simply calling out to the Lord's name. And the history is the proof. Anybody who has ever called out to Krishna, he has never let him down. You take Gujendra, Prahlad, Dhruva, Draupadi, anyone's example you take. And I'll end with this story. There are many examples like that, but there is a how when Krishna is present in our life, sometimes we don't see his mercy manifesting because we are not tuned into that frequency. But just because we are not tuned into that frequency doesn't mean he is not protecting. Once we are tuned into that frequency, then we see Krishna's hand in everything. So there is a very, very dear friend couple, young and very nice devotees. And so they were, once they shared this story, we were in Kolaba, so they just remembered that we were passing by that area. He said once the girl's I think aunt had come from Canada, and aunt or sister, yeah, sister, and she had 1-year-old child. So they were going to enter Taj restaurant for having some coffee or whatever. And as it was just a difference of 1 second, as they were about to take a turn, they had their car, suddenly the child started crying, became cranky and wouldn't stop crying. They had never seen him like that. Then the final thought, okay, let us go to some another place, some another restaurant, and anyways we are on diet, so we'll have some veggies or whatever. And they went to that restaurant, had their stuff. When they came out, the whole scene had changed. They could hear police sirens, they could see policemen, and they could see people running here and there. That was the day of that 26/11 terrorist attack. Right? That was the day when the terrorist attacked. And then they finally just left that place. And when the child was 6 years old, they asked him, so do you remember, and God knows why they asked him that 6-year-old story, that incident. And do you remember that we were taking you to that hotel and you started crying? He said, yes, I remember. And the child also remembered. He said, why did you start crying like that? It was weird, strange. He said, I could see some 5-6 people entering on a boat. And they had weapons in their hand. They had guns, I could see. And they had ill intentions. And I could see them shooting people, and people were actually falling down dead. But I could not say anything because I was just 1 year, so I simply started crying. So he had those visions. And through that, just see, through the child also, Krishna protected. Because that incident, they shot many people, shot down many people in the same restaurant where they were supposed to go in Taj. So child started crying, so they diverted and they went to another place and they got saved. Like that, they have had many such experiences. But essentially we understand that when we have Krishna's hand in our life, then everything is extremely auspicious and He is there to take care. All that is lacking on our part is our desire to take His shelter. As soon as we turn to Him, He is there to take care. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.